And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Well, he's not behind the secret door tonight. So that means Dr. Roger Lear can talk with his real voice. Hello, Roger.
Hi, George. I'm right at the front door here.
Yes, you are. What's going on?
Well, more of the same. Too much to handle.
Well, let me tell you, you're still at the forefront of these operations, these implant operations that continue to be baffling, Roger, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Every time we find that we think we've got the answers to something, it just turns into many more questions.
In the beginning, let's go back. How did this happen for you? How did you become the expert in alien implant removals?
Oh, that's quite a question, George. It seems so long ago now. Time flies so fast, but initially, I was the consummate scientific skeptic, and I was shown some x-rays with a metallic object in one of the toes, and the individual that showed it to me said these were alien implants. I thought that was the funniest thing I ever heard. You know, my history is that I've always believed in life elsewhere. I think you'd have to have an ego that's bigger than the Earth.
Sure.
That we're the only intelligent life. So I can accept that. I can accept the fact that, you know, things are flying around in our skies, which may be from elsewhere. I can accept Roswell. I remember my father showing the headline. But it's quite a stretch from there to having somebody that's piloting a craft abduct people and then, you know, put objects in their bodies. So I thought that was the funniest thing I ever heard. And I turned around and walked away. And
or ran away.
yeah, just about ran away. I said, oh, my God, this guy, I don't want to hear what he has to say. But a dear friend of mine that was with me and who was a section director for the local MUFON chapter here came back and said, oh, please go listen to what he has to say. And I did. And then I said, well, basically, if you think these things are something unusual, why don't you just take them out, see what they are? And he said, well, I think she'd like to have that done, but she doesn't have any medical insurance and can't afford the surgery. So I said, well, where does she live? And he said, in the state of Texas. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, you get her to California and I'll do the surgery free. And he said, do you mean that? And I said, yes, I most certainly do.
Was this for your own curiosity, Roger?
This was to have some fun.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, we take time to go to a ball game or, you know, go to the movies or whatever. And why do we do that? Because we want to have some fun. A break in the routine or whatever. You have to forgive my voice. I think I'm coming down with a little cold or something.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's really why I did it. And, of course, I thought it would be, you know, proving that this thing was, you know, maybe a leftover from a surgery or something, because we do use a lot of metal putting people back together. I worked in a number of emergency rooms during my course of doing surgery on the foot, and we, you know, put in screws and pins and plates and wires and things. So I thought, well, maybe this person had a fracture and something was left over. So that's how I got started. And then what happened was that he had called me again, said there was another case with a hand surgery. Could I do that one too? And I said, I don't do hands, I do feet. But I can probably get a general surgeon who might
do that, sure.
So we did the first two, and away we went.
Did the objects baffle you?
When I got the first one out, you know, at that time I'd been in practice for, you know, going on 30 years, and I've taken out a lot of stuff. People step on all kinds of things, George.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, everything from coral to metal to hair.
Glass, you name it.
Yeah, a hair can become embedded
you know,
in your foot, and it can cause a heck of a reaction. And then I had a fellow came in the office once, and he was a machinist. and he had a piece of metal shoot out of one of the machines, went through his shoe and into the foot. And, of course, they wanted it removed, and two fellows came in with him with suits, and they stood right there and took the metal, showing me their ID. They were a couple of G-men.
Interesting.
So it turns out later that he was working for a company who was designing and machining rocket valves out of experimental metal. And that's what it was. You know, nothing extraterrestrial, just secret stuff.
But they wanted that stuff.
Yeah, they wanted that stuff. So all they wanted to make sure was that I got it out, and we had to take an X-ray to make sure it was all gone before they left.
I know you've said in the past you really don't know where they come from. You really don't know exactly what they are. You've got your own opinions, of course. At what point did you start thinking they could be extraterrestrial?
Well, when we started getting results from tests with equipment, which we didn't have in the beginning, let's put it that way. You know, the first clue was the ones that were done by Los Alamos and New Mexico Tech, and they came back from the lab, and that was, you know, ordered and paid for by the National Institute for Discovery Science, Bob Bigelow. And we got a huge report back, but there was no conclusion at the end of the report. So he got on their case, and they did finally render a conclusion. And the conclusion was that these were meteorite specimens. So, you know, we knew that the patients didn't step on meteorites or whack them with their hand. They'd have a hell of a hole. So, yeah, that was probably the initial clue, was when there was some scientific investigation. But then later on, as I said, when we got the equipment to measure electromagnetic fields and look for radio waves, and I started isolating frequencies that were emanating from these objects when they were in the body, I mean, that's pretty telling that something is going on beyond what our technology has. And then, of course, lately, when we've applied, you know, scientific studies to the latter objects, and we find things like orthorhombic sodium chloride crystals. Sodium chloride is, you know, salt, common ordinary table salt, and the crystals are at random. They're not regularly shaped anything. But these are rectangular crystals in varying sizes. They have to be made. You know, somebody has to make those. That's just not an act of nature. And then we find, you know, the same sort of iron again, which is meteoric iron. And then, you know, the other thing that's quite startling in the latest samples, you know, and they're there because we're looking for them, is carbon nanostructures. We find carbon nanotubes, you know, carbon nanofibers, and basically, what you're looking at is some advanced form of a radio transmission device.
Right. Now, why are they tracking these people?
Well, I don't think they're tracking anybody. I don't think that's the purpose. What we know about DNA signatures now, we know that each DNA strand has its own electronic signature. So if you were an advanced civilization, I guess all you'd have to do is build some sort of a machine, electronic device, and you could probably track any strand of DNA anywhere in the universe. So why would you need to stick something in somebody's body? I mean, we got enough stuff in the body that that can be tracked. this was the subject, you know, of one of Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek episodes, where they were tracking somebody's DNA. So, you know, I'm not the only one that has that idea. The other thing is that, as we talked about previously, it seems to me that if you look at the abduction scenario, as is across the board, we all pretty much agree that one of the common things that goes on is the taking of ova and sperm. So if you're messing with some life form and using ova and sperm for some experiment, I would say that points to something genetic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So you know what's going on. Of course, David Jacobs thinks that they're making
some
hybrid
evil
beings.
Yeah.
Which
do us in.
Yeah, to do us in or whatever they're going to do. I don't think that's the answer though, because when you go in various parts of the world, I mean, you see different entities. Doing things a little differently, but they're still doing the same thing. So I don't know. They can't all be making hybrids. And then when you look at the population today, which David Jacobs doesn't seem to take into consideration, I did. We did a study with the 17 functional growth characteristics kids born within the last 40 years. And we see that they've been advanced from 16 to over 80%. That has nothing to do with IQ, and it's not television either. The kids born today are different. And if you talk to any parent or grandparent, I've never had an argument on that score.
Roger, you and I witnessed, you participated in implant removal several years ago, and it was an amazing thing to watch, because this little thing that was in her facial cheek just didn't want to leave. Remember, it kept bouncing all over the place?
Oh, yeah. And of course, I every once in a while look at the video of that, and you can see it to move around at the end of the instrument. And I remember we did one for the History Channel. I think it was Bill Burns'
UFO Hunters.
Yeah, UFO Hunters show, and they showed that on there. And, of course, Bill was talking about it for a long time. He said, the thing was really moving. So, yeah, they do some strange things. Now, we've done the 15th surgery, and I've had the 16th surgery scheduled for the 30th of the month, this month. And I got an email, unfortunately, from the gentleman who was supposed to be paying for the procedure, and he backed out at the last minute.
Oh.
So
the person still has the object in them.
Yeah, still has the object in them. I didn't cancel everything yet, because I hoped that someone would step forward and donate the money to ANS Research, and we can go ahead and still do the case. Everything's already set up.
What's it cost to do that?
It's a minimum of $5,000, which is really not that much when you consider everything that we do.
Will insurance cover it?
He has an HMO, and they won't pay for much of anything. The fellow lives in Tennessee, and we've been putting him off now for almost 2 years, and I have others that are lined up too. But sometimes we can get a television production company to come out.
Right, if they're doing a whole show on it.
Yeah. Use this material, and if there's anybody out there within the listening audience, why please give us a call. We'd like to get this done. This poor fellow has been waiting as an object in the arm. And we've done all the preliminary work, and it looks very similar on X-ray to some of the others that we have removed. So we would expect that the scientific results from this might be even better than what we had before, because, as I said, this is a cumulative knowledge. So the more we learn, the more we kind of look for.
Are you concerned at all about what is going on with this entire phenomenon? Does it bother you?
Yes, it bothers me deeply. And one of the things that bothers me is that the more we do research, I'm not the only one. You can't put your finger on the answers, and it's happening. I'm on a computer. I look at the statistics, and you see increases of sightings in the UK. In other various countries, things are happening. Don't sit around, folks, because it's happening, you know, as we speak. Now, I don't know where it's going, and I don't know about 2012, but there's something going on.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Do you find that more and more people have these objects?
I think the percentage of abductees is about the same. It's about 15%. And if you look at this on a human scientific level, if we're going to go out and tag whales to study their migration habits, it's about 15%. Or if we do bears in the woods, it's about 15%.
Super. February 7th, you're going to be at the Jordan Maxwell event, which I've been honored to give the address to introduce him. And you've got a lecture yourself there, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to be on precisely at 2 o'clock. I guess.
Information on that on your website? Is it up there yet?
The information is on the website, and I probably should mention that, too. I have to apologize for the website. My webmaster decided to redo the whole site, tore it all apart, and then, unfortunately, it became ill.
Oh, so he hasn't been able to put it back together again,
no,
Humpty
so
Dumpty?
It's the mere skeleton. What it was, but we're working on it right now, trying to get things moved around and so on.
That's AlienScalpel, P-E-L, right?
Right, P-E-L, AlienScalpel.com, all one word. And, yeah, as soon as we get it back together, we're going to have a lot more information and we're going to do things a bit differently. We're going to try and get something going where people can write in and get answers back. So it'll be a totally different situation, the modern aliensandscalpel.com.
Do you find that the government is interested in this? Do they approach you at all?
Well,
they
have made themselves known. I think I was on with you, and we were talking to what's his name? The fellow who talks to the dead.
James von Prague?
James von Prague, yeah. We were talking on the radio to James von Prague. And driving along in the car, I don't know if you remember, all of a sudden I disappeared.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Got home at night. And before everything went dead, I heard a voice that said, that'll be enough of that.
Same thing happened to Maxwell when he was on the show.
Yeah, I remember. And what were we talking about? I always wanted to ask James if he's in contact with spirits. Are they all human?
Exactly.
And so his answer surprised me because he said, "I have contacted Grays," and so that's what we were talking about was Grays, and that's when I got cut off. And then there was what happened with us some years ago when a friend of mine that was an ex-producer for CBS left CBS and went into the industrial aspect of television production.
Mm-hmm.
And started a website, and we were going to hold an international UFO conference. And that's a little story there.
Let's get into that when we come back, and we'll take phone calls with Dr. Roger Lear, alien implant expert. And welcome back to Coast with Dr. Roger Lear. And Roger, as we were talking about these alien implants or whatever they may be, is it possible that covert government might be doing it as well?
Well, yes. One of the mysterious things that we found is that in looking at the frequencies, which were emanating from one of these objects, we found that particular frequency was a fixed or mobile deep space communication frequency. Now, that just knocked us over on our butts because why would a non-terrestrial intelligence put something in a human and then, number one, have it operate on a radio wave, which is kind of nutty in the first place because that's archaic technology. We know that scalar waves are much, much faster, and I'm sure in advance the civilization would do something even more advanced than using scalar technology. So, you know, we thought about it and thought, well, you know, maybe by Occam's razor, you know, the simplest explanation is the one, and that perhaps whatever information is being gathered by E.T. Is also being shared with some terrestrial people. So, yeah, you're absolutely right on.
All right, back to the phones we go, east of the Rockies, Bob, Queens, New York. Go ahead, Bob.
Yes, good morning, George. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning.
Listen, I'm living out here right near the ocean in Rockaway Park, and about the end of September, we had like a meteorite, but I've seen a lot of meteorites, but this was a bright greenish blue, and it came down in the water about 2 miles off the beach. And I've been picking up pieces of this rocks and stuff, and, well, I put them in fresh water, and they more or less dissolve a little. And now I got these creatures running all over. Boy, they quick as anything. And they shine a bright blue light. They fly all over the place.
You've got creatures that came out of this meteorite after you dissolved it in water?
I have pieces of it. I got about 10 little jars here with fresh water in it.
What do these things look like, the creatures?
Well, I got some of them that are they're like crystal clear, almost like crystal, and then they change to silver, then they can turn to green, and then you got some of them that are blue, but they move fast. And I take pictures of the sun, and it's like a ball that shoots out. It's hit me 4 times yesterday. It's like it takes the blood out of us. And we got a bunch of ships offshore. I was watching them things. I can only pick them up on my phone camera. I can't see them by my eye. And they've been hitting all the ships out here and off the beach now. I saw that today. But I got a sample of the rock. It's a small piece. It was a bigger piece, but it dissolved in my hand when I was carrying it. But I have a small piece left. When I put a piece of that in the water, of course, a lot of these creatures were dying. This here sprayed like an atmosphere in there. It's got like little blue balls. I got pictures on his phone of it.
Are you gonna send us some of this, Bob?
Yeah, I have a prepaid phone, you know, and there's no way I can get it out to you.
You can't. Ah, Roger, you might have little alien creatures.
Well, if you can send us a piece of that, ANS research will put it through the fires of investigation, and we'll get a report back to you.
Roger, what would have these little creatures come out of it when he dissolved it in water?
Well, I couldn't quite understand whether he's saying creatures or whether these are organic pieces of crystal. Yeah, I don't know whether it's a life form. I couldn't tell by his description.
All right. I think it was a life form. You said they were flying all over the place.
Well, I couldn't tell that either by, you know, he was saying lights coming out of them.
Did they seem to be alive, Bob?
They are quite alive, and they can change form. I mean, I got some that look like sailors. They're like minute, but in the ocean off the beach here, I took a picture 2 days ago, and there's a full size one, but you can walk right through them. And I have that on my phone also, but they can take humanoid forms. They can take looks like an algae. And they climb all over these creatures, and it changes them to green. But yet, you can't see them with your eye.
Do you have text capabilities on that?
No, I wish I did.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you, maybe when we get off the air, you can leave your phone number, and I will call you back and talk to you about getting a sample.
Yeah, because I have a piece of this rock here, like I say, and it holds some of their atmosphere. And it must pertain something to the gravity.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get your phone number, and we'll have Roger call you back at a convenient time for you. So there you go, Tommy. Grab his number. And that's one way to find out, Rod. See what you can get for us.
Yeah. Be happy to do that.
Let's go to Fritz now, Jacksonville, Florida. You're up on the wild card line. Fritz, go ahead.
Hi.
great show, George. And also, I wanted to say thank you to Dr. Lamb for bringing to light.
Sure thing.
Thanks.
You're quite welcome.
Another thing. I just wanted to thank all of America and the world for what they've done for the victims of Haiti. I'm a Haitian foreign national. I can't say really foreign national, but I've been here since I was about 11, and since then I've been in the military. I've done Iraq and Afghanistan, and I've seen some bad things, but to see how the world has come together to at least attempt to help out what's going on in Haiti. It's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
But now with the natural disasters, really, really brought some attention to a place that's really been forgotten in our hemisphere. But God will bless. I just also want to just comment on foreign objects. One weird thing I can say was when I was young, I was probably about six about the time, and I remember my sister being born, and about 4 or 5 months later, and my mom, you know, she would recount the story. She told us that, you know, when my sister was born, about 3 months afterwards, they pulled out, you know, she had some discomfort and everything, and you know, just was a cranky baby, and you can probably tell, you know, today, because she's still kind of cranky. But they pulled out, like, a line of safety pins. It was probably about six of them that were just all, you know, interconnected as if arranged. But these were safety pins, and this was within, you know, her abdomen cavity.
Gee, how'd they get there?
No idea. Absolutely no idea. She was way too young to do any, you know.
They looked like safety pins, or they were safety pins?
They were actual safety pins.
That's
not safety pins, hairpins.
Hairpins. All right.
Hairpins.
I see. Okay.
But they were hairpins.
How bizarre.
Did she ever have previous surgery?
No previous surgery at all. This was in the Bahamas, NASA Bahamas.
She could have swallowed a hemorrhage, could she?
Well, she could have as a child.
Yeah, but that would be within the stomach walls. But this was in the abdomen cavity.
In the cavity itself, in the skin portion of the cavity, Raj.
Correct. Yes. So you know, I it just stunned me. But you know, that doesn't sound like anything extraterrestrial at all. But you know, it's just something, you know, something on a phenomenal stage.
True, truly was. No wonder she was cranky, Fritz.
Like I said, you know.
I don't blame her.
Also, I just wanted to comment one last thing. With Mr. Arthur on your last hour, he said that, you know, there was a guy that called in. He's an actor, and he, you know, wanted to help out as much as possible, you know, somehow. Uh-huh. I may be that person that he can definitely help. I'm an aspiring actor. I went to school for directing, a film, and you know, I have military experience, combat. I am in the process of building a business, and with last years on Earth that we do have, you know, whether it be 50 years, whether it be 70
or one,
or one, you know. I want to live it as if, you know, I have another 3 months to go.
Good point. I don't have his number, but, you know, who knows? Something like that may happen. Roger, what would you do if you had your last year to live here?
Probably the same thing I'm doing now, George.
Good for you. Good for you. It is your passion, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the thing that keeps me going.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks, too, by the way. It's been a while.
Yeah, I hope we can do this surgery, and maybe you can be there for that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Fritz, thanks for your call. Let's go to Mackinac in Michigan. Fred, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Fred.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask either one of you, first off, have either of you seen the movie The Fourth Kind as of yet?
I have not.
I have.
Okay. What? First, I'd like to ask exactly what your take is on that. And secondly, if we have time, I do have a possible experience that I'd like to share with the both of you as well. But first off, could I get your take, since you've seen it, on the fourth kind? And do you think that there is any credibility, or do you think that is a valid account of events in Nome, Alaska?
Well, I think it's based on a true story, from what I understand. But as Hollywood would do it, they put the Hollywood version to it. And most of the things that they showed in the film had absolutely nothing to do with alien abduction. It was more like demonic possession. So they totally distorted what it was like to be in an alien abductee. Some of the emotion, of course, was real, and I think the story about the involved psychiatrist was real. Also, she finally did become an abduction victim. But outside of that, it was just another entertainment piece. This is what Hollywood does. I'm currently working on a film myself, which takes you behind the scenes and will tell you why. On the subject of UFOs and aliens, why things are different when they're depicted on the screen. So it's called The Making of Alien TV. So watch for that one.
All right, very good. Well,
I wish you luck with that, and I look forward to seeing that when it comes out. So you don't think that the video footage that they included in that film that was supposed to be the actual accounts was exactly accurate, or that it may have been doctored?
Yes, yeah, I don't know. I, you know, didn't have anything to do with making the film, but you know, Hollywood can do that if things don't look entertaining. You got to remember, you know, this is entertainment business. This is not a documentary to tell you how to build an H-bomb. It's you know, it's supposed to keep you entertained. So they take things and
it's a pretty scary movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's scary, right?
It is. I got to be honest, it really kind of messed with me for a couple of days afterward to think that there may be a demonic force behind everything that's going on with, you know, the UFOs phenomenon and the abductions and stuff like that. But one other thing I wanted to share, if I could, was a possible experience that I may have had in my life. It was several years back, and I used to bartend at a bar, and I would come home quite late at night, and it was a pretty remote, desolate stretch of road. You know, the only actual thing that I can say for sure is this is what happened. I woke up one day at my residence, and it was from a dream. And it was the most real dream I have ever had in my entire life. And what it was is I had seen bright lights behind me, and I thought there was a car with bright lights. And then I thought for a minute it was a police officer pulling me over because it got so intensely bright, but then my car died. And then the next thing that I know, and it all happened really fast, the door, the driver's side door of my car completely came off, and I remember a being coming in from the passenger side and feeling this immense pressure on the right side of my body, and I felt like I was being forced out, and I screamed, and I woke up to actually that pressure on the right side of my body actually being me laying down on the bed, and I was literally screaming out loud, and all of my roommates heard me. I've never done that before in my entire life. It was a short time thereafter that I noticed, and this has been here at, you know, and it seems to coincide with that time, on my right hand, between my fingernail and the first joint of my finger, there is a crescent shaped lump or a scar, and it rises about maybe an eighth of an inch off of my finger, and I don't ever recall it being there prior to that time in my life, and it has been there ever since, and it has not changed one bit. Have you ever had any of the objects that you've removed located in that area of the body or that size? And does that sound like other experiences that other people may have had?
I haven't had one in the finger, but I've had them in the back of the hand, and we've had them in toes. So what I would suggest to you, if you have a suspicion that there might be something in there, to just have a plain, simple X-ray taken.
Okay, very good. Time for maybe one more quick call. Let's go to Andy in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Andy.
a great show. A two-part question. Number one, Whitley Strieber said that when he had the object removed, tried to have the object removed, it moved, which would imply that there's an intelligence there behind it, if that story is accurate. Have you ever experienced that? Number two, have you had any thoughts of re-implanting one of the implants into, let's say, an animal or some other possibility to see the reaction and use it as a testing device?
Interesting. Well, we've got a minute left, Raj. And one, we know they move because you and I witnessed one during one of those operations. They move throughout the system, not tremendously far, but in one case to avoid the tweezers from being able to pull one out. And I don't think, Raj, you would ever contemplate putting them into another creature, would you?
No, not unless I had some laboratory experiment going on and we had, a few hundred of these things and we could go to that extent with an experimental animal of some kind. But at the present stage of the game, that would be far from anything I would do.
AlienScalpel.com is Roger Lear's website. Roger, thanks so much again, my friend, being on the program. I'll see you in a few weeks.
Okay, George, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. That's Dr. Roger Lear, who has devoted his career, his life, his passion to removing very questionable objects from people. Fascinating guy. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.